July 28, 1908. The Power of Love, Ellen G. White. Love is power. Intellectual and moral strength are involved in this principle and cannot be separated from it. The power of wealth has a tendency to corrupt and destroy. The power of force is strong to do hurt, but the excellence and value of pure love consist in its efficiency to do good and nothing else but good. Whatever is done from pure love, be it ever so small and contemptible in the sight of men, is wholly fruitful, for God regards the love that actuates the worker more than he does the amount of work done. Love is of God. The unconverted heart cannot produce this plant of heavenly growth, which lives and flourishes only where Christ reigns. Love cannot live without action, and every act increases, strengthens, and extends it. Love will prevail and gain the victory when argument and authority are powerless. Love works not for profit or reward, yet God has ordained that great gain shall be the certain result of every labor of love. It is diffusive in its nature and quiet in its operation, yet mighty in its purpose to overcome great evils. It is subduing and transforming in its influence and will take hold of the lives of the sinful and affect their hearts when every other means has proved unsuccessful. Wherever the power of intellect, authority, or force is used, and love is not manifestly present, resistance is aroused in those whom we wish to reach. Jesus was the Prince of Peace. He came into the world to bring resistance and authority into subjection to himself. He could command wisdom and strength, but the means he employed to overcome evil were the wisdom and strength of love. He is our example. He lived to bless others and went about doing good. Love beautified and ennobled all his actions. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Blessed results would follow as the fruit of such a course. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Here are strong motives which should constrain us to love one another with a pure heart fervently. The measure we meet is always meted to us again. Pure love is simple in its operation and is distinct from any other principle of action. Love of influence and a desire for the esteem of others may produce a well-ordered life and frequently a blameless conversation. Self-respect may lead us to avoid the appearance of evil. A selfish heart may perform generous actions, acknowledge truth, and express humility and affection, while the motives are deceptive and impure. The actions that flow from such a life will be destitute of the savor and fruits of true holiness, because the principle of true love is lacking. Love should be cultivated and cherished, for its influence is divine. Nothing is more treacherous than the deceitfulness of sin. It is the God of this world that deludes and blinds and leads to destruction. Satan does not enter with his array of temptations at once. He disguises them. With amusements and folly, he mingles some little improvement, and deceived souls make the excuse that great good is to be derived from them. This is only the deceptive masking of Satan's arts. Beguiled souls take one step, then are prepared for the next. Satan does not want them to give up praying and maintaining a form of religious duties, for he can thus make them more useful in his service. He unites his sophistry and deceptive snares with their experiences and professions, and thus wonderfully advances his cause. The hypocritical Pharisees prayed and fasted and observed the forms of godliness while corrupt at heart. Solomon says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool," and this truth was never more applicable than at the present time. It is inappropriate for Christians in any age of the world to be lovers of pleasure, but how much more so now when the scenes of earth's history are so soon to close? Yet one of the sins that constitute a sign of the last days is this love of pleasure on the part of professed Christians. Then deal truly with your own soul, dear reader. Search carefully. The welfare of your soul and your eternal happiness depend upon your foundation being built on Christ. Do not rest until you can say, "My life is hid with Christ in God, and when He who is my life shall appear, then shall I also appear with Him in glory." The love and grace of God. O precious grace, more valuable than fine gold! It subdues sin, elevates and ennobles the spirit beyond all other principles. It sets the heart and affections upon heaven. While those around us may be absorbed in the pleasures and vanities of the world, the conversation is in heaven, whence we look for the Savior. The soul is reaching out after God for pardon and peace, for righteousness and true holiness. Converse with God, and contemplation of things above transform the soul into the likeness of Christ.